Welcome to the Dose of Courage podcast. I'm your host, Courage Molina, Chief Courage Crusader. I'm here to encourage, challenge, and equip you to become bolder, more confident, and courageous enough to be who God has called you to be, do what God has called you to do, and take possession of everything God said you could have. Courage Crusaders, let's go. This podcast episode is brought to you by the Courage Mastermind. Courage Mastermind is a 12-week coaching program to help you discover your true self so you can become more confident, let go of past hurts so you can walk in the forgiveness that's already yours, help you to use your faith so you can move mountains and step into the life God has for you. You will improve your relationships and finally start to see the support that you need and the support that you deserve. At the end of the day, this program is going to help you to become the woman you were always meant to be so that you can start living the life that you truly desire. It's time for you to get out of your own way. It's time for you to stop playing small, stop being living in this rut. It's time for you to take action so that you can become bolder and more confident. So this is not just, it's not enough for you to have the tools that you need if you don't have the confidence to show up and follow through. And the truth is, if you don't make a change now, things are going to get progressively worse. That rut will turn into a depression so fast, it will make your head spin. That dry spell that's in your marriage could quickly lead to divorce and separation and divorce. So don't think that, oh, I'm in this rut. I'm just gonna stay in this rut for a little bit longer. No, it's time to make a change. It's time for you to get what you need so you can be who God has called you to be. Because the truth of the matter is there's a call on your life. There's a call on your life. And the calling is not, it's not about you. It's for you, but it's not about you. You need to get this confidence and your courage up so that you can say yes to the call in your life so you can serve the people that God is calling you to serve. There's somebody out there right now that's going through something that you were meant to be a solution for. And they're just waiting. Listen, life is short. Time is short. We ain't going to be on this side of life forever. Okay, so let today be the day that you get enrolled in the program or that you at the very least get on a call with me. Go to bit.ly/Courage Mastermind and you can either enroll or sign up for a call with me so we can get you getting you ready for the next steps. Yeah? Welcome to the podcast. Hey, if this is your first time, I'm so glad that you're here. I don't know who sent you, but tell them I said thank you. You can send them a thank you after you listen to this podcast because it's going to be everything. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't subscribed. If you've been here for a while and you've been rocking with me for a minute, thank you for coming back. Thank you for sharing. Listen, y'all sharing this thing everywhere, ain't y'all? I love it. Y'all are sharing it on Facebook, you're on Instagram, y'all sharing it on LinkedIn. What? I love it. And yes, I am on LinkedIn as well, Courage Molina. So I love that y'all are sharing it everywhere because it's in the sharing and the 5-star ratings and the comments and things like that that help us to be found by other amazing Courage Crusaders all across the globe. People are tuning in from all over the world, Australia, United Kingdom, South Africa, Nepal. There are countries that are listening to this. Some of these countries I never even heard of. I'm like, what? Your girl is global. Do you know what that tells me? Tells me that everyone needs a dose of courage. So just share, share, share. Don't be scared. Just share. Okay, so you know what I've been doing here lately? I've kind of been reflecting on my life. I was reflecting on my life the other day. I don't know about y'all, but I do some of my best thinking in the shower. I feel like I get a lot of ideas there, a lot of divine downloads there. My shower is like, it could be like a therapy session. Sometimes I listen to a podcast in there. I use every ounce of hot water that is available in there. And so I was just reflecting the other day. It was my day off and I was just thinking about my life. And it is so crazy that it has been 3 years that I have been a full-time entrepreneur. 3 years. That's a long time, y'all. Without a salary or like without teaching or without being on a job, somebody's taught. That's so crazy. And you know, what's even crazier is I remember when I first started, right? I felt like God was calling me to Bible ministry. And my response was like, no, thanks. I remember when God was calling me, you know, I felt like I could feel him moving towards that way. But I was like, no, I'm good. Thanks. And so what I decided to do instead was to go into like entrepreneurship as a business coach, right? Which is funny because I hadn't really had a lot of success as a business, but I knew some things. There were some things that I had learned just over time. And so I was great with creating content and creating content marketing strategies. I was also a beast at creating curriculum and things like that. That's something I did as a teacher. And so that's what I have been preparing for. That was my side hustle, and networking and how to network. These were some of my natural talents. And so those were the things that I was like preparing to do as an entrepreneur while I was still teaching. So when God was like, oh, let's look into ministry, I was like, no, I'm good. I'm going to do this right here. And so I was working at a job. I was a high school Spanish teacher, and it was a great job. It was one that I really enjoyed. I was a department head. Spanish department head. And if you don't know anything about me, know this, I like to be in charge. Okay. I like to be in charge. And so that was great for me. I also designed their K-5 program, designed and ran it for the time that I was there. And I created all final exams. Even if students didn't have me as a teacher, they took my final exam. I created all of them. I was a mentor teacher. So, and I love my job, like pretty much anything I wanted, they said yes to. I had great classes, great students, great family support, as far as like their student support, families of the students. It was great. Now my first year, not so much, but after my first year, it was amazing. And it was during my time there that I felt like God was telling me to quit my job. And I once again was like, no, thanks. I wasn't ready. But do you know what happened that last year I was there? This job that I enjoy turned into one of the most unbearable places on the planet. But it wasn't them. I didn't get new administration. I didn't get new kids that all of a sudden weren't great. I didn't get new parents. It wasn't them. It was me. And I was so confused. I would be so irritated and so mad. I was the problem. And I started realizing, the reason you are such a pain in the behind right now and you've got an attitude about everything is because you were supposed to leave last year. But I couldn't. I was so chicken, y'all. I was like, okay, you know, the summer before I quit, I was like, all right, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to go back to school. I'm not going to go back to teaching. But I didn't have anything popping. So I was like, I'm going back to school. I'm going back to teach. And so that year it was horrible. And it was me. And so I finally quit. And when I quit, I had no plan B. I had no savings. I had a plan. My plan A was to stick with the entrepreneurship, the content marketing, because that's what I had done for years. And I had had some success with that, made some money with it. Not enough, in my opinion, to quit my job, but I was good at it. And so that's what I was going to do. So I quit my job. And 3 days later, God flipped the switch. And he pushed me, pulled me, was overwhelmed with this, you know, calling to ministry. And I was like, okay, fine. I cried. First of all, I cried. I'm a crybaby. But I cried and I was like, all right, let's do this ministry thing. Like, that's not what I quit my job for. But let's go ahead. Let's do this ministry thing. And so I'm not really sure what I expected. First of all, let me say this. I'm not sure what I expected when I said I was going to quit to do this content marketing. I had my website and all of that, but I still hadn't gotten enough clients to float me or anything like that. And then when it turned to ministry, within like a 2-3 day time period, I definitely didn't know what to expect. I don't know what I expected. I knew that it wasn't going to be perfect. It wasn't going to be easy, you know, but what I expected is not necessarily what I experienced. I kind of experienced some things that I hadn't expected to experience. And so, you know, what I want to share with you today are just a few things that I learned from that experience. So yes, now I'm 3 years and I am a full-time entrepreneur. I have a coaching business, Courage Molina. I'm the CEO of Courage Molina. That is my coaching business. Under that coaching business, I have Courage Bible University. And I'm also the founder and lead minister of Dose of Courage Ministries, which is an online ministry for women, you know? And so that's who I am. And that's my actual life that I live. 3 years ago, when I quit my job with no plan B, I was in the house that I'm in right now with the car note for the car that I have right now. Same cell phone service. And I say all that to say that while it was not an easy journey to get to where I am, I'm definitely better off than I was when I first quit. I feel like last year was the roughest year on my health, on my marriage, on my finances, for sure. It was the leanest year, but I learned a lot in these past 3 years, and things are so blessed. Things are so much more improved, and like, I'm doing it. I'm not trying to do it. I said that the other day, like, listen, I ain't trying to do nothing. I'm not trying to be an entrepreneur. I am one. I'm not trying to be a CEO. I'm a CEO, right? And I don't say that to brag. I just say that to say, sometimes we can't see how far we've come because we are playing where we are to the left, right? I can't see how far I've come because I was looking at myself like somebody who was trying to be a full-time entrepreneur, when truth is, lights on 3 years later, same car, same house. These kids around here eating. If you saw a picture of me, you could see I'm thick, not slim, thick. We ain't missing no meals. So where's the try? Where's this like lack of confidence that I have, or this hesitation to tell people I'm a full-time entrepreneur, I'm a coach and a minister, period, right? But when I took the time to really reflect on that, I started thinking about some of the things that I experienced. And so I'm just going to share a few of those things, just three. I have a total of 10, but if you want to hear the other seven, if you want to see the other seven, you can go to the show notes and there'll be a download for you there. So the first thing that I realized is that, you know, when you say yes to going after your purpose, and it doesn't have to be ministry, that's just mine. That's my truth. Right. But when it comes to saying yes to go after like your purpose, to chase your purpose, to have your best life, your dream life, however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, one of the first things I want you to know is that you're going to have to leave your comfort zone. I know you've heard it a million times, but it is so true. You're going to have to move outside of things that have been familiar, and it's okay. It's okay to leave what you've always known, because I think sometimes that's what keeps us from saying yes, that in order to say yes, I have to do something I haven't done, or I have to do it in a way that I haven't done it before. So I've been a teacher since 2006, probably my entire life. And so while I'm a coach, what I really am doing is teaching you these principles, teaching you how to apply these principles to your life so that you can become bolder, right? As a lead minister, yes, it looks different than what I've known, you know, those 10, 11 years in public school. But at the end of the day, I'm still teaching you. I'm teaching you how to study the Bible in a way that is going to help you to, you know, apply that wisdom to your life so you can see changes. But it definitely does not look the same. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. The prep ain't the same, you know? And so it's okay. You are going to have to leave this area of comfort. It certainly doesn't pay the same. And in the beginning, that can be difficult. When I think about people who have prayed to have children or who want children and then you get them, right? Now that you've said yes to the blessing, you've said yes to the calling of motherhood, of fatherhood, your life ain't the same. That same schedule, the same cleaning of your house. So I feel like there's a cycle, especially with parenting, boy, there's a cycle. If you were really clean before you had kids, probably not going to be as clean. You got to give yourself some grace, because these kids are just, they live
to touch and pull stuff down, and just that's what they live for. That's their purpose in life at a certain age, just to tear yourself up. And it means that you're not going to be comfortable. It means that the way that you manage your household is going to have to change. That's true no matter what you're saying yes to. Right? But I don't want you to get out here to say yes to parenting. Listen, I could go on, I could stay right here on this number one for the entire podcast. When you say yes to getting married, so right now my husband is in Florida. At the time of this recording, he's been down there for way too long. He's down there for work. And now, listen, we've been married for 19 years and we have been together for 24. When you get married, it's like I got married super young. Like my story is very different, right? So there are things that I didn't even realize. But now that I'm here in this house without him, and I have been for weeks, now that I'm in this house without him, there are some things that I realized, like, oh, when he comes back, because right now, I mean, I'm a married woman, but as far as the household is concerned, it's like a single life in here. And so I keep thinking about when he's coming. He's coming to visit. I can't wait for him to come back. We keep talking about how much longer it's going to be. But what I'm realizing is that when he comes back, things are going to be different. They're going to go back to the way they were. And there's some things that I've really enjoyed. And I imagine that if you're not married yet, that the things that I've come to enjoy, because we got together, my friends always tease me and say, oh, I got married at age 10, which is not true. But I moved out of my mom's house and to his mom's house and to our own place. So I was never really single. We were teen parents. We're teen parents. Having our first kid when I was in 10th grade, our second kid, right after high school graduation. So I didn't have like the single life. So I imagined. So I didn't even know this was a thing, right? I didn't even know what living as a single adult or an adult without a husband, I didn't know what that looked like. But I'm finding out what it looks like now. And so if you're single, and you are praying for, you want to be a wife or you want to be a husband, these are things that you probably experience right now that will change when you get married, okay? My room right now smells very girly. It's very fragrant. It smells like my perfume. It smells so good. It smells very girly. It's very clean. There are no socks anywhere. There are no, like, pants. There are no work shoes anywhere. His nightstand is clean and it's got my books on top, like as decoration. It's so cute. Listen, I never walk into the bathroom with the toilet seat up. I don't even check anymore because I have a master bathroom and I'm the only one using it. It's a beautiful thing. I never see like hair in the sink, even though we have his and her sinks. It's still only one bathroom. And so if he shaves and he doesn't clean the sink out, there's hair in the sink, right? I don't see those things. What I eat, my eating schedule, like I'm just very loose. If this is how I lived my whole life before I got married, like if I'd been traditional, like, oh, I didn't get married until I was 30 or I don't even know what traditional is. If I had been single and living on my own before I got married, then when I got married, what I would have realized is that when you say yes to being a wife, you have to leave the comfort of things being the way you left them. You have to leave what's familiar, the way you've always done things. So I don't know how you manage your household now without a spouse, but baby, when you say yes to the dream life, to the purpose, yes to the blessing, that thing changes. You have to leave this area of comfort and familiarity. And it's okay because the blessing is going to be better. It's okay that it's not going to smell so wonderful like my perfume when he returns. It's okay because having him here is better than the fragrance. But baby, let me tell you, you're going to have to leave this space of comfort and the space of familiarity. Another thing I want you to know is that a lot of times you're going to see the vision, but not always the path. Right? And that still applies with everything. There's a vision that you have for your life as it relates to relationships and your finances and what you do for work, whether you want to have a business or a ministry or you're going to work for somebody else. There's a vision that you have for how you want to see yourself and how you want to be seen in this world. And a lot of times we get the vision from God. He tells us, he paints this beautiful picture. But after we say yes, we can see the vision, but we can't always see the steps that are needed to get there. The path to getting there is not always clear. So I remember when God gave me a vision for my life, as far as it relates to my ministry. When I think about that mission, when I think about the vision that he gave me, when I think about, you know, the number of lives that are going to be impacted and just the way that looked, I was so overwhelmed, I cried. I was like, but how am I going to do that? How is little old me, like, what? How am I even going to get there? I can't even see how I would get there. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to go. Like, I just could not see it. And it was very overwhelming. I had a clear vision of where he wanted me to go, clearer. At least I thought it was clear anyway. It was clear for me to see at the time. And I thought, oh, this is what I've been called to do. This is the way it's going to look. But I just couldn't always see the path to get there. Sometimes I felt like I could only see like one step before me, which we feel like, oh, we hear that analogy and it sounds so great and so cute. But think about being in a place where there's light, because you're with the Lord, right? There's light, but your vision is blurry. And the only thing you can see is just one step ahead. You can see the big picture and you can see the next step that you're supposed to take. That's what it's going to be like. And it hasn't always been that way, because before we said yes to the call, we said yes to the career. Before we said yes to the call, we said yes to the college. We just said yes to these things that we thought we wanted, that we thought we were supposed to do, because that's kind of what we're taught. We're not taught to think about our calling and our dreams and our gifting. I know that in my generation, I feel like my generation wasn't really taught that. We were taught to pick a job. This wasn't about my vision, what you wanted, you know. At some point it was like, what are you going to do? Pick a job with good benefits, go to college. You know, that was kind of the expectation. And so we continue to use that as our decision-making, you know, system. So we're not really thinking about the vision, so to speak. And so because we're not thinking about the vision, it's easy for us to come up with a plan. Right. I read somewhere that, I mean, I use the word vision just because it's a word that we use all the time. But I saw this quote once that said, vision is from man. Revelation is from God. Right. And so if you think of it that way, if you think about like, okay, the visions that I created for myself, I could clearly see the plan. I'm going to do this X, Y, Z, boop, 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 boop. But when God shows you a vision, we don't always know, and I'm not talking about a download, right? So God will give you a download and you know all the steps you're supposed to take from A to Z. And you can get that thing done in short time. I'm talking about the big vision. When God gives you this big vision for your life, it's very difficult once you say yes to it to see the path. And that's to be expected. The next thing I want to share with you is that, you know, those that are with you, your friends, your family, people who are connected to you, when you say yes to the call in your life, when you say yes to chasing your purpose, when you say yes to stepping out on faith or whatever verbiage you're comfortable with using, when you say yes to that, those people, friends, family who love and support you, they will also have to sacrifice. They'll also have skin in the game. But the crazy part for them is that they will have skin in the game and they'll have to sacrifice for a vision they may not have been given. And the reason I tell you that is because I want you to show them some grace. I didn't do a great job of showing my husband grace when I said yes to the call of my life. You know, we initially talked about whether or not I was going to quit and I complained all year. He finally was like, listen, anytime you've stepped out on faith, you know, we've always ended up in a better spot. So, you know, go ahead and do what you feel like you you know, you need to do. And so we said yes, and I quit. I was committed to the vision. He was committed to the giving it a try. And there's a difference. When you're committed to the vision, ain't no stopping until the vision comes to pass. When you're committed to giving it a try, well, you give it a try, and if it doesn't work out, then that means that you are going to go to plan B. When you're committed to the vision, there's no other plan. No other plan exists except for this one. There are no other plan. There's no plan B, C, D. People say that. Mm-mm. When you say yes to the vision, there are no other plans. When you say yes to trying, you got 13 plans in your back pocket. And so when things got difficult for us financially, which didn't happen right away, it happened over time because I wasn't bringing in the same income that I was bringing in before. And I already shared that we didn't have any money saved for this. And I don't recommend it. Let me not say that. That's not true. I recommend that you do what God is telling you to do. I don't care what nobody's saying. And so if God is calling you to save up 9 months worth of income or to wait until you have whatever, if you talk to God and that is where God is leading you, then that's what you do. But if you talk to God and he is leading you to quit, to literally cliff jump, and you don't know how it's going to work out, but God is telling you to do it, then do that thing. I'm not one for like being responsible or being reasonable. My goal is to be obedient. More and more every day, less and less resistance to being obedient to what God is saying, even if he says jump off the cliff, right? Like Abraham and Isaac, even if he says to sacrifice, you know, the one thing I've been wanting, okay, well, it's out. But you have to have that conversation with God. That's why, I'm always talking about how important it is for us to spend time in God's word, because the more time I spend in his word, the better I get to know him. And then I start to have these conversations, I can ask him for guidance, and I know when he's speaking to me. I can feel, I know his voice. The word of God says, my sheep recognize my voice. And so when God says jump, I'm gonna jump. Maybe not as quickly as I'd like to, but certainly I'm gonna jump. I'm not gonna worry about, conventional wisdom, because I'm not looking for a conventional outcome. I'm looking for the miraculous. And that only works through obedience. And so, when you say yes to the vision, then you keep going. Even when things get bad, Abraham was called to leave his family and go to the land that God would show him. God didn't even tell him where he was going. I think that was crazy. I think Abraham had crazy faith, which I'm trying to grow to. But he followed God. And then when he got there, there's a famine in the land. What? So that means that anybody that went with him, his wife, his nephew, there was a sacrifice for them too. The people who are with you, there's a sacrifice. When I quit my job, even though he said yes because he was committed to trying, when I quit my job and our income decreased and I worked differently, I moved differently because I needed to in order to build this business, in order to build this ministry, and also in order to become the woman who would lead it well. Because who I was when I quit is certainly not who I am today. I'm a different woman. I've become someone different. But it was through those experiences. But what I didn't give him was grace. So when he was upset about how tight things were or that we needed to make payment arrangements or whatever, I accused him and yelled at him and fought with him about not being supportive. And while he wasn't being supportive in the way that I wanted him to, what I owed him, and I'm telling you this owed, what I owed him was grace. He deserved grace because he wasn't given the vision, but he was required to sacrifice. Can you imagine how Joseph felt? Right? I mean, and Joseph got the vision though. I mean, shoot, that was still a hard thing, but Joseph got the vision. It was still hard. Mary was the one carrying the baby. Mary was the only one who knew whether or not she had slept with a man or not. So it probably was easier for her to accept whatever needed to happen because she knows like, hey, I know I woke up like this. But it had to be difficult for Joseph. It had to be difficult for him because, he didn't have the same experience as Mary. He didn't know. I mean, it's certainly possible she could have cheated on him, right? As from his standpoint. So if he was upset or if he was distant, you know, knowing that he wasn't with her, knowing that he couldn't possibly know for sure, right? Even an appearance of an angel, it's still something that can leave you feeling like, was I tripping? Or did I really experience that, right? You know, they deserve grace. And so the people in your lives who are upset because you used to cook when you worked a 9-to-5 and now you're not cooking, hey, they deserve some grace. The home girls who are with you and want to support you in your ventures but are kind of upset a little bit that you haven't been spending enough time with them, show them some grace because they're required to make sacrifices. Listen, I'm not saying don't do it. Make no mistakes about it. I am not at all suggesting that if you come to a fork in the road and it's like, you need me to show you more than grace, you need me to quit going after the vision so that we can continue. Oh, okay, well then bye. Right? You can give them the grace and the gift of goodbye. But I mean, as far as like how you treat the ones that are going to stay around. So if it's a spouse that's struggling with the lack of money or the lack of time, so now we don't have any money, you still ain't got no time, and you ain't cooking your home all day, and a brother can't get a cooked meal because I was working all the time trying to build this and grow this and build this and grow that. And so I couldn't recognize during the journey that he was sacrificing too. And I think we miss it. We are sacrificing the most, no question. We are building something and it is changing us. It is like going into cocoon and there are parts of you that are being ripped out, changed, molded. It is not an easy process for us. And so sometimes I think that we can forget that we're not going through this alone. That the people who love and care for us and want to support us, you know, they're sacrificing. They have skin in the game too because of their love for you. And they may not have been given the vision, and that's okay, but, you know, show them some grace. And so I wonder how many of you listening to the podcast are ready to say yes. You know, how many of you, show of hands, like I could see you, show of hands, how many of you are ready to say yes? I only share with you three things. There are 7 other things. And so if you want to know those other things, you just have to download the PDF in the show notes. So go to the show notes, download it, the PDF, and you'll be able to see it. If you're on the email list at couragemolina.org, then you'll get this when the podcast comes out. That's what you get. You get the show notes when the podcast is released and also a link with the podcast. So you can either go to the show notes where you're listening, or you can get on the email list. If you're on the email list, then you'll get this when the podcast comes out. All right. So listen, I think that's not going to work, right? I just said something. I'm thinking about it now. Like, no, that's not going to work. So you just got to go to the show notes, friend. Go to the show notes. Go to the website, couragemolina.org, and then you can hit the download for things to expect when you say yes. All right. 10 things you need to know before you say yes to chasing your purpose. Right? Maybe you're not quite ready. So it's like, I don't need to know what to expect when I say yes because I ain't even ready, boss. If you're not ready to say yes, consider enrolling in the Courage Mastermind. It's a 12-week program. It will change your life. You'll get access to 6 modules, 1 released each week, so you can become more confident, so you can become confident enough to pursue your purpose. You know, in the group, in this program, you'll be able to connect to a private group. You'll be able to connect with participants in the Slack community. So you can really start to build relationships with women who are going to give you the type of support that you've been searching for so that you don't have to go on this journey alone. So I hope that this has blessed you. If you've already said yes to the calling and you've already started, you already know that you had to leave your comfort and familiarity. You already know that you saw the vision, but you don't always see the path. You don't always see the path. And it's so important for us to just continue to follow Christ, for us to just continue following and trusting in Him. And but I hope that one of the takeaways is that to show grace to the people that you love, to show grace to the people that are watching you go through this thing, right? I'd love to hear how this resonated with you. Share it on Instagram, share it on Facebook, tag me at Courage Molina, use hashtag Dose of Courage Ministries. Sorry, just kidding. I do a lot of recording though. Use hashtag Dose of Courage and show me some love. Share this with 5 people that you know need to go ahead and just say yes to the call on their life. You know they've been called or they're walking in their calling right now. They just said yes, they're on the journey and you feel like, you know what, I just want to send them some encouragement. Send this podcast to all of them. All right, until next time, I am out. Y'all be strong and very courageous. Later.